Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mohammed. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 15th to 18th verses, and I would advise you to take and read the whole chapter. But in the 15th verse it reads, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flock of thy sheep." But the messenger of God warned us, the real children of Israel, "Let that which happened to Israel serve as a sign to us, that if we disobey Almighty God, Allah, and His Messiah, the same thing that is happening to Israel will also happen to us." These curses are now taking place because of the things that Jesus prophesied of wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But the greatest thing that's happening is the natural death of the white race. One of the factors that is causing our former slave masters and their children to be more antagonistic towards us is the white birth decline in Europe and America, and at the same time of their birth decline, the rise of Islam, not only in Africa and Asia, but in Europe, Canada, America, and now even south of the border. Europe and America's white birth decline and the rise of Islam.
The Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mohammed.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Dr. Ava Mohammed, and we are streaming live, blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Call us to join this discussion, 347-324-5091. That's 347-324-5091. Tonight we are going to engage in an in-depth analysis of the episode, part 39 of The Time and What Must Be Done, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you can listen to The Time and What Must Be Done. Each episode premieres at noi.org/the time every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Part 39, which you heard an excerpt from, Why the Transgenic Seed and the Natural Seed Cannot Coexist, Why the Grafted Human Being is Disagreeable to Live in with Peace. And beloved, we are not indulging in racism. We are engaging in acceptance and understanding of the will of Allah and the fullness of time. And so as we move into tonight's discussion, I want to also remind you that I have been blessed to recently join 1690 AM WVON, the talk of the town, right here in Chicago. Every Sunday, you can hear the broadcast version of Elevated Places. I'm live at 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern. And don't forget to visit me at my Twitter account at Dr. Ava Muhammad. And you can submit questions to our social network, ask at hashtag Ask Dr. Ava. Now, we're moving toward the second most critical event for the Nation of Islam annually. The first is Savior's Day, which takes place in February, and the second is the Holy Day of Atonement, the commemoration of the Million Man March. And we, this year, will be in Tuskegee, Alabama. Tonight I am joined by my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And both of them are going to play active roles in this year's Holy Day of Atonement. So I want to first say to my brothers, thank you both so much for sharing your time and your brilliance with us. And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Very happy to have you here tonight. Brother Terrence, why don't you start this evening with giving us an update on what is going on as we move toward the Day of Atonement?
Yes, ma'am. Well, there's a whole lot going on, as we know. You know, we are continuing to watch the issue with the U.S. government and the shutdown, even though we know that we try to do for ourselves and have our sisters nurture the babies from their breasts. A lot of our women and all of our people are getting government assistance for food and breast milk, and I mean for formula for their babies. And I say it that way is because when the government shut down, a lot of people have been cut from that. So, you know, it's damaging to a whole lot of people. And then some people have even talked about some contracts have already been paid out, and governmental contracts and people that got these contracts already been paid, but workers, since the government has stopped, they can't continue to work, but the money's already been paid to the CEO or the person at the company, but the employees don't get no money or they don't get their back pay. So there's a lot of things going on with this government shutdown, which is clearly something that we need to pay attention as we're trying to build our nation, and we'll still continue with the overall topic of Elevated Places is separation, and there are clear reasons why we should do that. Also, I don't want anybody to forget, or all of us to forget, that we just celebrated a monumental birthday of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who turned 116 years old. He is well and alive, and yes, we in the Nation of Islam say it proudly and boldly, as can scripturally prove that that man, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, is still alive and growing, strong and empowered, and we celebrated his birthday on this past Monday. But also in the news, our brother Kwame Patrick, and I still call him our brother, was sentenced 28 years today for the things that they said that he did. So our prayers are out to him, and as well as his family. But I do want to go straight into the Holy Day of Atonement before we go into our topic, and just remind everybody that the 18th anniversary, as you said, of the Million Man March, 18th anniversary, will be in Tuskegee, Alabama. And you can go to finalcall.com to get the schedule, or NOI.org and get the schedule of events. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic blueprint and building a nation. So on that Friday, we will be in Montgomery, Alabama. There's going to be Juma prayer there in Montgomery, Alabama on Friday. There's also be on Friday at Tuskegee, open house for those that are interested in going to college and primarily to Tuskegee. So there will be an open house for that. Also that Saturday, there are powerful, very much so necessary workshops, the economic world, the Black Farmers Workshop at the Booker T. Washington High School from 9 to 4. Anyone that's interested in agriculture, go to NOIMOA, Nation of Islam, Ministry of Agriculture.com, NOIMOA.com, and learn more and get involved in building a nation, as well as the student conference. And you can go to Building a New World Conference, CONF, buildinganewworldconference.com for the student session from 9 to 4. Also at Booker T. Washington High School, we have students coming from all across the nation, bus loads, car loads, flying in to discuss how to build a nation and utilizing the education of the college students to build a new world. And also the Twitter party, we want the Twitter army to come to Tuskegee. There's going to be a Twitter party at 4 p.m. also at Booker T. Washington High School, where we will tweet it up and see the episode 41 of The Time and What Must Be Done. So that's a lot going on, culminating on Sunday in Tuskegee, the address by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, celebrating the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. I just say get down to Tuskegee, make it however you can, get down there, check us out, and be a part of this monumental affair. And lastly, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not stopping. He's not stopped moving. He's always traveling. You can check him out November the 2nd. He will be out in L.A. accepting awards out in California. November the 10th, he will be in Indianapolis at the convention center. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is moving, and he's not stopping. So we support those at the mosque in Indianapolis under the leadership of Student Minister Brother Nuri, who gave an excellent lecture Sunday, that keep pushing to make sure that convention center is all the way packed. And if you want to learn about scandal instead of watching a TV show about scandal, make sure you have everybody turn into the real scandalous news about our government, this country. Just tune into Elevated Places, and we'll tell you what's really going on, so you ain't got to watch a scripted show every Thursday night.
Thank you so much, and that is exactly right. Dr. Ridgely Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You know,
I just heard the minister as late as yesterday say that two segments of the population are really the focal point of his thoughts and effort right now. And that, number one, as Brother Terrence talked about, the youth, the young people, and then secondly, Black farmers. And so can you tell us about what will be happening with the Black farmers in Tuskegee, Alabama?
Yes. Well, you know, one thing, the minister is a farmer himself now. So, you know, and plus he's only 5 years old, right, Minister Ava? You can tell us about that in a minute. So he's a youth and he's a farmer, and he understands the importance of farming. He understands the problems that Black farmers are facing, and he understands that we're going to have to do something different instead of just going up trying to get the USDA to do something right when, in fact, they're doing what they want to do in the first place. So he asked us to call the Black farmers together so that we can develop a new plan. And the title of the conference is The Future of Farming and Food in America. And we're going to deal with five basic issues, all centered around the same thing, and that is to develop a whole new system for food production, financing, and distribution, and then to get into value-added production, because the money is made really after the raw product is made the money is made in the process, processing, distribution, wholesaling, and retailing. That's where the money is made. So we have to get the farmers going to have to go to the next stage in terms of value added, the way we have done here with a flour mill. So we're going to talk about value added. Then we're going to be developing new farmers and agriculture entrepreneurs for our future. And we will be doing that in conjunction with the student conference. So the student conference will have a set of workshops, and we will have a set of workshops, but we'll have a joint workshop on the issue of developing new farmers and agricultural entrepreneurs. Then we will also deal with the legal issues that black farmers are faced with the USDA so that they can tell their story and we can and people can understand why these farmers, the independent black farmers who are working with us, have decided that we need to build a whole new food production, financing, and distribution system outside of this system because they know through history that the USDA is not for the farmer. And then we will end with strategies to reunite our city and country cousins around this food issue. For a long time, I've been working with the black farmers to get them to understand that we're only 1% of the 2%. You know, the 2% of the American people now are on farms, and black farmers are only 1% of that 2%. So politically, they don't have the numbers to make the government care. However, Minister Farrakhan now is showing our people that they're being killed slowly through poisoning in the food.
Right.
So now the people need a better source of food, and who better to do it than the ones who are brought over here to teach everybody agriculture in the first place, not the black farmer. So now the black farmers have finally caught on that, yes, indeed, we must educate our people and then serve them. Because in the conditions they are in terms of their mind and their behind, following their mind to Walmart and Macduff and Murder King and the rest of them, we can't service them. So those are the main issues that we're going to deal with, and we're going to come up with solving some problems, not just talking, and there'll be a whole different format that I'll tell y'all after the fact, after people experienced it. I'll explain to y'all what we did and tell you whether it worked or not, but this will be a whole lot different type of conference this time. So please come, tell other farmers and those who are into any facet of the food system to come, because we're talking about controlling our food from the land all the way to the man. So come out to Tuskegee.
Yes, absolutely. The minister in part 39 of The Time and What Must Be Done went into great depth. He shared some startling statistics about decline of the Caucasian race, the increase in original people despite the assault on us from every aspect of life.
That's right.
And as we get into the article and start to discuss it, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, I want us to recall that just a week or so ago, Miriam Carey, a 34-year-old black woman, young, beautiful black woman, with a one-year-old child, a little girl named Erica, was in her black infinity in Washington, D.C. And it remains unclear to this moment what happened. But I know Allah says in the Holy Quran, if it's under a rock, He will bring it forth. And I want to start with her story briefly as we move into the minister's scientific discussion on the antagonism that Caucasian people are feeling toward us, and we better confront that and deal with that and come out of the denial of it. Whether we are Christian, Hebrew, agnostic, watcher of scandal and reality TV shows, etc. Whatever we are or are engaged in, and that includes the Nation of Islam too, because just because we are registered doesn't mean we have overcome a very deep-seated emotional attachment to white people, which the minister also addresses in this episode. Brother Lewis out of Baton Rouge wants to establish a hotline where we report people who claim to be followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad but are practicing integration on the down low. So as we talk about this and these life-saving teachings, everything the minister says is accompanied by reality. He's not speaking in theory. He is sharing with us the will of God and warning us in the moment. And this young sister, who was a dental hygienist from Connecticut, allegedly tried to drive her Infiniti through a barrier near the White House. Now, when the news was first released, it was said she was trying to breach security around the White House, feeding the public with this vision of attempting to drive right up the lawn to the door of the White House. And as facts began to roll out, it turned out that the area where she was really quite a distance from the White House. It would have been more accurate to say she was near the Treasury Department.
Wow.
But the point of the matter is, she backed up and sped toward Capitol Hill, and police chased her in a high-speed chase, and her car got stuck on the median, and the police shot her to death as she got out of the car. The Final Call newspaper did an interview with a former New York police officer named Valerie Carey, and she stated that there is no way that was proper protocol to kill this young woman. Number one, no one has ever said she discharged a firearm, and there was no indication whatsoever that she was in possession of a firearm. Also, it is coming out now that they were aware that her one-year-old was with her in the car. Now, in the aftermath of her being killed, and it's been reported that she was shot many, many times, that some of the police emptied their guns and reloaded.
Come on now.
Automobile, and we know police are trained how to shoot tires out.
Come on now.
They have those spikes that they throw out in the road to bring your car to a halt, because keep in mind, she was eluding the police, not coming at them. She was seeking to drive away from them, and that's on video. They showed that on TV. Her car stopped and started, and she tried to drive off, and when she managed to get out of the car, she was shot countless times. Now it is being said she had postpartum depression, and her family said, yes, she did suffer from postpartum depression. She had received medication and therapy. However, her sister also said she demonstrated no symptoms of any mental dysfunction. She functioned fine. And it was noted by her family that the type of detailed and critical work that one has to do as a dental hygienist. She was terminated allegedly because of temperament. And I think a lot of us have a certain temperament that might get us relieved from a job. That does not mean we should be made into a Swiss cheese by the police. And the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, you have Negroes coast to coast who are buying into the way this story is being presented. that this young lady deserved death. The Capitol Hill police were honored in a session of U.S. the Congress. They were applauded. There is nothing to indicate that they shot her for any other reason than she was black. And that's the point of this evening. The every day now we are seeing on television or hearing in the news about yet another one of us being violently destroyed. And that includes destruction of us by our own young people. And that's another issue that needs to be addressed, and that is how all of these weapons are getting into our community and into the hands of our children. The other issue is the violent video games that are on the market.
That's right.
That we have a generation 15, 16 years old that grew up on Grand Theft Auto, Mortal Kombat, and games of that nature. We're not addressing either when we condemn our youth that we live in the most violent country on the earth.
That's right.
And so children, as we know, they don't do what they're told, they do what they see. And now that America is, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, falling, you heard the minister's words, and he quoted from Deuteronomy of what God promised these people. And before we start talking with one another, we've got callers lining up already, and I want to get our brother's take on this, both of our brothers. He lifted a quote from a William A. Henry III from Time magazine, April 9th, 1990. That's more than 20 years ago. And the article asked the question, what will the U.S. be like when whites are no longer the majority? And then the subtitle is America's Changing Colors. And he goes, he lists the statistics, and then this is what I want to read from William A. Henry. By 2020, a date no further into the future than John F. Kennedy's election is in the past, the number of U.S. residents who are Hispanic or non-white will have more than doubled to nearly 115 million, while the white population will not increase at all. By 2056, when someone born in 1990 will be 66 years old, the average U.S. resident, as defined by census statistics, will trace his or her descent to Africa, Asia, the Hispanic world, the Pacific Islands, Arabia, anywhere but white Europe. And Brother Terrence and Dr. Rizvi, 2020 is now only 7 years away. And we see now that what this writer said is coming to pass. And it was the black vote, the Latino vote, the Asian vote, that got Barack Obama back into the White House a second time, despite all of the efforts to suppress voting rights. And so there is great fear, there's great consternation, there's great anger among Caucasian people. And it's not about taxes, it's not about spending, it's not about Islamic terrorism. It is about what Dr. Francis Cress Welsing called fear of genetic annihilation.
That's right.
So your thoughts, brothers, and then we'll engage the callers.
I know Dr. Ridgely is going to. I'm smiling.
Go ahead.
No, I know you're going to take a little bit deeper, but I think Dr. Ava closed it out and answered, you know, there's no more really discussion about it. It's genetic annihilation, and that is just the reality of that. That has always been the fear, and that is a fear, that that annihilation, the smoking gun. You know, so regardless if they take all of the guns out in the street, but as long as their little children are loving our basketball players, or are loving our football players. They're loving our R&B and hip-hop artists, and so they loving us because they love our music and our culture, that they want to be around us and intermingle with us and marry us and have children by us, then those that understand the power of that smoking gun, they understand that they will be annihilated if black people don't want to stay with ourselves. So that's why the Ku Klux Klan and Truth in a Nation can be friends, because we both believe in separation for the existence of our own. They want to stay pure white, and we want to continue to exist. But they understand, you know, even though the black community welcomes all, because we have produced all that's on the planet,
they know
they cannot be intermingled with us, because they understand the genetic annihilation. So they're fighting. Not only are they fighting to depopulate the planet with us, but they're also fighting legislatively, as you said, in the 2012 election. Latino and black and young people came out in numbers to reelect President Obama, and there's, as they say, the browning of the country. So the fact that black and Latino are starting to bond and stop fighting is a dangerous combination that they understand and they're watching.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm just smiling. And, you know, that program, this past Saturday, I had talked to some of my paper customers, and they saw it, and they said it just made them feel so good. You know, and, you know, Minister Ava, Dr. Ava, you know, a few weeks back, a brother called, we was talking about how bad the poisoning is, and the vaccines and the food and all of that.
Yeah.
And he said, is there any positive thing come out of that? Is there anything we can say in a positive manner? And Allah answered our prayers through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this past Saturday.
Right.
He, you know what I mean? He answered those prayers, and he said, well, look, yes, they are, and they're going to continue to try to annihilate us, but in the meantime, our God, Allah, is closing up the womb of the white race.
Mm-hmm.
So in 100 years, white boys and girls, you all won't be here. Oh, that just sounds so good. And so, you know, and so it gives our people relief, because I might not get there. Yeah, I might die from one of y'all poisons, as you sent out. Okay, but I know. In just 100 years, white boys and girls, you won't be here no more. And our people will be here. So I said, that was a beautiful answer to the prayer. The brother was actually, you know, he kind of felt depressed, you know, after all the information
exactly
about the killing. You know, and I've been dealing with this genetic stuff since 1999. You know, about what they're doing in terms of the Terminator genes and what they're doing.
Right.
And our people now are seeing, we're seeing the results of it. But however, all praise is due to Allah, they're going out faster than we are.
And they cannot.
So that's all I have to say. I'm going to say just how.
Well, they can't overcome. And again, you know, people have got to study that episode 39.
Yes.
The minister speaks of and refers us to a video from a group called AmericaWorking.org.
Right.
And they mention the Nation of Islam on that website, and they attempt to link the Nation of Islam to terrorism. And what you
right
see now in this whole concept of Islam as a terrorist religion, it is not because they really believe that, not the intelligent
right
ones among them. What's underneath that, this is a dual fear, and the minister talks about it. It's not only the physical disappearance of them as a distinct race,
right,
because, as Brother Terrence said, they'll be subsumed
yep
over those that survive Allah's judgment, ultimately will be subsumed. And the ones that will be saved are the ones that submit to that reality, and they'll be allowed to remain for a period of time. But ultimately, this planet belongs to the aboriginal people
right
of this planet. But secondly, see, the minister said not only do they fear the physical loss, but also the loss of their manufactured religion.
Come on.
And he says here, since they are the originators and organizers of Christianity, organized under Roman Emperor Constantine, not in Palestine, where Jesus lived and taught and died, but it was organized in Rome, Italy, 325 years after the death of Jesus, organized for the purpose of the domination of the darker peoples of the world with white supremacy, using religion as the means of conquest.
Right.
When you see death of the West, it is not only death in terms of a dying population of a white race, it is the death of the religion that they organize for their political purposes, which comes back to Islam and the Quranic saying, surely the true religion with Allah is Islam. And so, brothers and sisters, it's not just about being black. If you and I want to live and see and have our progeny be part of a new world coming in, we have to accept the one religion of the one God, which is Islam. Because white people have always been a serious minority.
Right.
Okay, we need to remember that.
That's right.
They're one of the reasons they're fading out so quickly is they were never more than 10% of the world population from the beginning.
That's right.
And so they had to have a tool to rule the black man. And that tool is Christianity. And so Islam threatens the religion, and biology and physiology and genetics threatens the flesh.
Mm.
And both are at an end. And he says here, as the Caucasian sees his birth rate decline in America and around the world and sees the rise in birth among black, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, darker peoples of the third world, his fear of the loss of his ability to continue to rule produces in him a state of mind that makes him more disagreeable to live with in peace.
That's right.
See, you have a Miriam Carey, you have Jordan Davis, you have Oscar Grant, Trayvon Martin, Jonathan Farrell, and the list goes on and on and on. Not even to consider, and it would probably make our brain explode, if we knew of the countless anonymous black people who are being killed at the hands of law enforcement daily. Because remember, the only reason you know about the people I just named, for a singular reason, their families refuse to accept their loved one being violently destroyed in that manner, and they spoke out. But I can't tell you all how many mornings I have looked at the news in Chicago. A suspect was killed in Inglewood last night by Chicago police. Not even a name.
See? Come on.
Because this person didn't have that type of backup and family support. And one thing we better see is that all those people I named came from middle class and working class educated black families. So this idea that it only happens in the ghetto is a false idea. And we have seen with President Obama in the White House, you cannot rise high enough to escape being called a nigger.
That's right.
There's all kind of websites on the internet, nigger jokes, nigger this, nigger that. Okay.
All day.
So all day long, more than you could absorb if you stayed on it all day. So this idea that I can get a degree or I can make X amount of money or I can marry a white woman or a white man or I can bleach myself, there's nothing that we can do but accept the best and only solution, and that
That's
is
right.
to separate ourselves.
Can I talk a little bit about what you said, Minister
sure.
Ava, about Christianity and how it was used as a weapon? You know, in studying the history of the school system, the college system, we found out that your major universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, University of North Carolina, University of Alabama, all of these schools were set up as seminaries, cemeteries. They were set up as places to train missionaries to teach the gospel and the classics. Because through that, they would rule, through that teaching of white supremacy hidden in the cloak of Jesus. They were
yes.
able to dominate the Native Americans and to trick them and to let them die out slowly to keep us in bondage with their made-up religion. So the first thing they did was not set up agricultural schools, not set up technical schools, not engineering schools, no, seminaries. So that they can spread the gospel that would destroy other people's civilization.
That is so profound and critical. And you know, again, look at what the minister's bringing. And so those who made mockery of his vision in 1985, of his encounter on the mothership with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Where is this wisdom coming from and the ability to connect it?
Yes.
See, we confuse knowledge and wisdom with information. There is a boatload of information that we all
yes.
walk around with. But information is not knowledge and wisdom. See, it's the
That's
ability
right.
to connect everything and see the holistic nature of what
right.
is going on. White people have made us think like them, which is components.
Right.
They're not capable of seeing the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
They see right. everything in its separate parts. And as the minister said, they love separation. That's all they do. They go around the world breaking up everything. The only
mm-hmm.
time they don't like separation is when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, bye. Okay,
right.
we'll do that. We agree. We're going to separate. Oh, no, not you, because you're upholding our world.
Right.
We need your blood to suck. You're not going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the minister is tying together scripture,
yes,
academics. He's in the world of physics, biology, geography, economics, health, etiquette, linguistics, history, mathematics, everything you need to
yeah.
begin a new civilization. We're not rebuilding nothing. We're bringing in a whole new world, and we're not taking the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said nothing from white folks.
Ooh.
The
Ooh.
Only thing we would get from them is something they had stole from us in the first place.
Well.
So this man, and that's why it's important for us to listen and exhort anybody we care anything about.
Right.
And we should care about black folks. We should exhort people to watch the time and what must be done.
That's
and
right.
look
and,
at Allah's grace. What would prevent you? Like the Quran said, what would keep you from this?
Mm.
You got a phone. You got a smartphone.
That's right. Come on.
Some of us got two or three of them. We spend $19 billion a year on phones. Our 6-year-olds have phones. So don't say you can't watch it. Like Brother Terrence said, you're watching Scandal.
Well.
You're watching Breaking Bad. I've never even seen this show, but this is all I hear about, Breaking Bad, Breaking Bad. It was, look at the title.
One.
You know, so we can't take an hour out of a seven-day week.
Come on.
And get something that's going to get us off. If you were on the Titanic and it was going down, and they said there's a man over there that's showing people how to get off, you would just stay in the dining room and say, I'm going to order another piece of chocolate cake. I'll have another drink. But the people of Noah drank and partied all the way up till the flood came. So I guess some of us are going to do that.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
And Dr. Ava, I know we got to jump. And I know we got to jump into the calls, but I do want to reiterate something that you said that I don't want it to be glossed over. One of the very most important things that I heard you say, and Dr. Richard can attest to this, is that white people have always, and I want to say this again, always been the minority. It's
That's
only
right.
in our minds that we saw them as the majority.
That's
Why do I say this? Then you will understand their desperateness. In other words, when you corner somebody in a corner, they fight like
right.
I don't know what to get out.
Right.
So since they have always been the minority and their birth record is point below zero and they're not rebirthing, we're on the rise, then their minority status is going faster and faster, and they literally are seeing themselves be extinct. And it reminds me of that movie Back to the Future, whatever his name was. He had a correct the path or whatever. He was fading away.
White people
are seeing themselves literally fading away out of the picture. They're seeing themselves fading out of existence. So that is terrifying. So just like Michael J. Fox was running around trying to fix things to make sure that he could stay in existence, that's what they're doing. Depopulation, doing everything they can do in the food, in the water. We don't know how many untold deaths have happened in Africa. When we look at the study of AIDS, droves of people are dying, droves of people, not just one or two, I mean thousands a day are dying. So we got to really look at why this psychotic mind or what happens in a psychotic mind. And also I was just looking at Boys in the Hood was done in 1991. And in that movie at the end, it was Ice Cube said, as Doughboy, he said, either they don't know or they don't care. So gun violence, as we know, has been going on and has been killing people, but no one cared to pay attention because they understood that as long as we kill one another, it's helping them stay at the point where they are and not fall lower as a minority, which they have always been.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? Brother Terrence.
Yes, sir.
Did I heard you say that Kwame Patrick got 28 years? Is that used to be the mayor of Detroit? Did he kill somebody? I mean, why did he got is that 28 years?
28 years. And, of course, I saw it on Facebook. That's where I saw it first. But then I looked into USA Today, and they got it posted. Kwame Kilpatrick, 28 years.
For doing what?
And that's the question.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm so glad because I meant to ask him to, because I said maybe I heard, maybe he said months. But again.
No, 28.
Again, death. That's a death sentence.
A death sentence.
Because when they don't kill the black man outright with guns and then with the, of course, constant chemical assault on us, and then another one is incarceration.
Yes.
You know, and they take us at the peak of productivity.
Yes. Yes.
And by the time you come out, like they locked the brother up, the one of the Angola Three in the Louisiana State Prison, who was released just last week after, and that's in the final call as well, after 41 years in solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. And this is another thing that just goes on. The United States has more people incarcerated than any nation in the world, but they're running around assassinating heads of state because they claim these people are dictators and killing their own people. But we're going to go to the phones. We've got Sister Amira out of, I think that's Charlotte. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I adore you, Sister Ava. You and your 18, the Nation of Islam, Sister Farrakhan. I admire you for your... Oh, wait a minute, hold up before you say that. I love you. But for your Supreme Service. Sister Ava, with all the respect. Now listen. I thank Brother Terrence for his update regarding the focus, but I did notice something that was overlooked, and that is... So I have two specific questions. And with all the love and kindness in me, I want to ask, where would the Nation of Islam, the most powerful nation on earth, be offensive versus reactive? Now, I say that to say this. Listen, Sister Ava, I learned this in the Final Call newspaper, that when will there be a specific focus on the legal pursuit? You being a lawyer, Sister Ava, you know I learned the devil's real law means legal arm of white domination. And with you being in that position formerly, I want to know, I mean, the answer keeps bothering me, but when will there be a legal pursuit of the chemical weapon of mass destruction in the water, the food, and the unwanted GMO that was forced on unsuspected helpless black people such as myself in light of what the Messenger told us how to eat the earth? And the other question I want to know is, in light of the recent disclosure in the final call that I learned about the legal pursuit of reparations, the ancestors of the Sunni, regarding Kenya receiving reparations and the Caribbean coming together to do a conference on reparations, when will there be any specific discussion to resolve this unresolved issue that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad points out? You know, because Sister Ava, I've been reading that thing with my heart, and the elected messenger is telling me that before we vote, go buy land, we must come together, pool our resources together, stay together, pray together, and demand land together. Now, that's what I get from point number four. Now, I may be off my rocker, and I just want a confirmation. Don't beat me down too bad, but that's what the essence is actually saying.
No, I'm not going to beat you down. I thank you. I thank you, Sister Mira. Okay, we're going to discuss the answers to the questions right now, and thank you so much. Just listen to us and to the panel. But as far as the legal pursuit about these chemical weapons of mass destruction, see, the thing that all of us have to bear in mind is time moves on, all right? Time passes. And so as time passes, the response to a particular situation has to change according to the time. And so this is why Minister Farrakhan is doing the time and what must be done. He didn't just say what must be done in a vacuum, because what must be done is always dictated by what time it is. We wake up in the morning, brush our teeth, take a shower, do all that. Everything we do is in accord with time. We wake up in the morning, we go to sleep at night. Okay? So, yes, black people sought reparations. And, yes, we have taken the devil to court many times. Throughout this entire period, however, since 1965, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad published the Muslim Program. Now, he asked that we be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of our own. He also stated that after 400 years of blood, sweat, and tears and all that we did to build this country, it is owed to us to supply us. He never talked about reparations per se. He said, you owe us 20 to 25 years of supplying our needs. But he didn't say, if you don't do it, we're just going to sit down.
That's right.
We're not a civil rights organization.
That's right.
You know, we're not going to march and then 50 years later march again for the same thing.
That's
so
right.
We're asking, we were trying to do this peacefully and in the best manner, but he never said, I'm going to submit to your way. He said, I submit to Allah. And Allah has now declared it is time for us to separate. So that's what we're doing. We are acquiring land. We are making our plans. The devil makes mischief by means of the law. You know, the really main purpose of suing them is to show black people how unjust they are.
That's right.
We could never prevail in the white man's court system in any real way. Then that would mean what we're saying is not true about them. And we've watched
them. Can I jump in here on this one?
I'm sorry?
Can I jump in here on this one?
Yes, sir.
This is 14 years after Pinkman v. Glickman.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Black Farmers lawsuit. And what has been done to them is proof. If you really study it, it's proof that you cannot get anything out of the legal system of substance that will be good for us. Okay? We don't have to talk theory no more. We have a case supposedly that the black farmers won, and they still foreclosed on them.
Exactly.
Okay? They still foreclosed on them. They still did not do anything so that they can go back and borrow money. They tricked them. They dogged them. And they told the press that they were happy. And they're still telling the press that we are happy. We got some more money. They gave that money to non-farmers again. So this proves once and for all, you cannot get anything from them of value. And what on the back of our paper, what the Muslims want, what the Muslims believe, this was an appeal to black America.
Right.
It wasn't an appeal to the white man. It was an appeal
right.
to the black America that you understand that it's time for us to get up and do something
exactly.
for ourselves. And what we must do to put ourselves in a condition to be blessed by God. This wasn't about the white man. This was an appeal to us, black people.
Amen. And part of justice is, part of due process and justice is notice.
Go ahead.
And the opportunity to be heard. And so through his messenger, Allah put white people on notice, and he gave him an opportunity to right the wrong.
Right.
And that's why the minister came out with correct the wrong in the Final Call newspaper. Not because we believe they would, but Allah is not going to be charged with being unjust.
Come on.
And so the process has been exhausted. And now it is time to pack up. We need to stop thinking about what we can get from them. We're literally watching their world disintegrate. If they wanted to make reparations, they don't have it.
That's right. Don't have it now.
They have some pieces of green paper that are worthless.
That's right.
That they call money. You know, that they print every day like we print flyers. It's not backed up by anything. So
we
need to not be Lot's wife and keep looking back.
Come on.
Just leave them alone. I don't realize what I said. The minister said, leave them alone.
That's right.
And start getting up and doing something for self, because one of the reasons we're not successful is we think about these people too much.
Go ahead.
So
we're too focused on them.
That's right.
They don't think about us at all, except as a commodity.
That's right.
And that's why when they did a study of the Negro in problem, they called it, the Negro problem in 1940, they called in an economist. Because they're dealing with the former slave population that was brought here to do labor. An economist. So to them, we're like corn and potatoes.
That's right.
We're just
commodity.
A commodity.
That's right.
All we are. So we're going to go on to Brother Anthony. He's been holding for a while. Let's see. Let me open up this mic. Welcome to Elevated Places, Brother Anthony. Walaikum salam.
Sister Ava, I was just wondering if you and your panel was aware that they are having, concurrently, the same time we'll be in Alabama doing Day of Atonement. They will be having a big debate on the on Christianity. Same thing the minister was talking about at Conway Hall in London. I sent you a link to this website on your Facebook page.
Okay.
And the name of the website is Covert Messiah.
Wow.
And at the bottom of the website, yes, they have, I just want to just read you this small sentence. It says, this symposium not only presents an expose on Christianity, whose time has come, but it is a significant case study which provides an important glimpse into how the ruling classes have kept their power for millennia. Time and again, the common people are deceived into war, poverty, and obedience because of their ability to reason has been crippled by false ideas, false histories, and false gods circulated by the power elite. And they have about three or four little small videos on here advertising this symposium they're having and debating on the legitimacy of Christianity. And I just thought it would be something that you'd be interested in seeing. So I didn't know if you were aware of it. Yes, and it's, interestingly enough, that will be taking place October the 19th in London.
That is
so I just wanted to share that
profound.
With you.
That's
the link to your Facebook page.
Oh, thank you,
so
brother.
That's all I want. I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Well, this is the best forum in the world.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Oh,
yes, it is.
Awesome.
They're the best audience in the world.
Yeah, they're telling the truth on themselves. Thank you so much, Brother Anthony. Appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Islam.
You know, there is so much going on with regard to a number of Caucasian people are taking a serious interest in getting to the root of what is going on with themselves. And if we think they are not watching the minister, need to think again, because you can trust and believe. You know, and I mean, how could we not? We know the history.
That's right.
We know of agents being sent not only among us but every black organization.
That's right.
That ever came together. Anytime you show any consciousness of yourself, now they'll label you as dangerous and threatening. But that's not the criteria. The criteria is that you put yourself first. That's what makes you dangerous. All of this going back to fear of genetic annihilation. And so there's no way a man can be putting this type of message out in this hour, because as he's speaking, what he's saying is taking place. So it's not as though we got to wait 20 years to see the collapse.
That's right.
Since he started the time and what must be done, look at what has happened to the U.S. government. I hope we see and recognize the complete disintegration of America's governmental structure. See, because you're not only witnessing the pure racism of the assault on a black president, you are also seeing a system that is no longer workable. And again, that goes back to time. See, their system is out of time. You're not going to stabilize civilization anyway except through submission to Allah. Not democracy, but Islam.
Wait,
Islam
you know,
is what it's going to take. Yes, sir.
you know, we are taught that there was going to be a flood, you know, after the woman and her child. And we thought that the flood would be a bunch of lies, which, of course, they have been putting out a bunch of lies on the nation and the minister. But, you know, when there's a big fire, one way you put out a big fire, you try to start a fire on the other side to burn out the fuel. So they try to jump ahead, trying to predict the direction the minister will be going in. So they're trying to come out with truth ahead of the minister. But, you know, they still don't know who they're dealing with and who's backing him. So it is a very interesting chess game we're seeing right in front of us to see who is the wiser. Praise be to Allah.
That's right.
So, Mr. Ava, you there?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir. The film, The Trials of Muhammad Ali. To your point, you know, which is running on HBO, but to your point about jumping ahead as a strategy.
Yes.
And since the minister is persistent in lifting up his teacher, and he refers to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's books as monumental. And so, lo and behold, this HBO film, it's not a documentary, it's a feature film, and it goes into very entertaining as well as enlightening, but it goes into the backdrop of the U.S. Supreme Court decision reversing the conviction of Muhammad Ali for draft evasion. And he had refused to go to join the army and go to Vietnam as a conscientious objector. And so there's a big legal debate, going back to Sister Amira's point about law. And they debated over whether or not Muhammad Ali was protected under the First Amendment. And in the course of this film, you see the camera zeroes in on Message to the Black Man. Beautiful shot of a beautiful new copy of the book on the desk of one of the justices.
Come on.
And they just keep the camera there for the longest time. And they lift excerpts from it. He's quoted. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is quoted. And I'm not going to give it away, but it goes to your point about a chess game that's being played. Because, see, they're trying to figure out, what do we do about this?
Right.
You have your group that says, just kill him outright and we'll just take the heat. Whatever comes, comes. You know. Then you got another group saying, that's the dumbest, stupidest thing you could ever do. Okay?
Come on.
Just ignore him. Just act like he's not saying anything. And then another group saying, you're dumb and stupid. How are we going to ignore? Have you seen what he's seen him? Have you heard what he's saying? You can't ignore it. He's converting our children. So then another group says, well, let's use some martial arts, some Wing Chun on him, and let's do what he's doing. He's bringing out Message to the Black Man. We're going to bring it out.
Come on.
So they don't know what to do. And then on top of that, the way Allah has a perfect storm, all of a sudden, Barack Obama chooses this moment to man up.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Come
and
on.
Say, I'm going to call your bluff. You know, you want me to take apart my signature legislation? You know, you've basically made me nothing in my presidency, and all
right.
I have as a legacy is health care. So
right.
You're going to tell me that if I don't take apart the very law that I suffered and struggled to get passed, that the American people endorsed not once but in two elections, that the U.S. Supreme Court upheld them because 30 rednecks in the Tea Party
come on.
Can't deal with it, you're going to threaten me with the shutdown? Well, go ahead and shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and shut it down. And they never dreamed that he would take the point at this moment in time.
Right. Oh, well.
While Minister Farrakhan is doing the time and what must be done.
Oh, well, this is a great movie.
Yes,
the whole real story.
The real story. I hope everybody's writing this down so our great-great-grandchildren can look at the movie. Because the real time is really great. I'm sure 100 years from now it'd be even greater. But in real time, it's really great right now.
Yeah, we're all blessed to live in this time. And I just want to, as we're running out of time and for this show, and I just want to get to that third thing that the minister mentioned. He mentioned two factors, but then he said in this episode of The Time and What Must Be Done 39, he said, but here is something to consider. The state of mind of our black leadership class. Because, see, now we've dealt with the antagonistic state of mind of white folks to shoot down. See, when they start killing the female with her baby, with her.
Well.
And I got to say this. It demonstrates we're really not awake because you could not gun down no white woman like that.
That's right.
Okay. Especially one so well groomed. You know what I'm saying? That
right.
Time was taken to produce this type of woman. And for her to be gunned down in the presence of her child. And, of course, we know from Dianetics that they keep saying the child is fine, which is crazy.
Please.
Because this child's got engrams for days,
right.
All right? At age one, to be in the company of your mother when she is killed in such a horrific, horrible manner. And when they do that, if we had any real knowledge of self and acceptance of self as a people, we would shut everything down over that.
That's right.
And until we take that kind of position, this kind of thing is going to continue. But I'm getting to one of the reasons why we're so weak and pansy. It is because of this so-called black leadership. Okay, because we only have one, and that's Minister Farrakhan. We're not a cult. I'm not a cult follower. I'm just speaking truth. You know, if you have any kind of objectivity, you just have to say, this is the man. We claim we read Bible, Quran. Anything we study will tell us who this man is. And
that's
if
right.
Nothing else, any reasoning powers would tell us who he is. And there is no other, you know, Allah never raised up committees and groups. He always raised up one individual that I ever saw in the books. I never saw him say, well, I want a committee over here, political action committee. Okay. So
come on.
You have all these talking heads and activists and politicians out here, and they are killing us because they're giving our people refuge from truth. See, they're allowing us to live in the state called denial. And look at what Minister Farrakhan says of them. They cannot see themselves in any way being separated from their former slave masters and their children. They can't see it. They don't want to see it. And really, most don't want it. To think of separation in a land of their own, using their creative talent and capability in every field of human endeavor, but using this knowledge for the benefit of self. And so when our leaders think like that, they continue to press the government, press white people pleading We want to stay with you. And the anger is going to increase, and the blood shedding will increase. And soon you will see that it is the time in history that we must be separated.
And Dr. Ava, I think one of the key things that you just pointed out, and I think it will help solve not externally but internally within the nation a fundamental problem that we have. If we do not properly see who Minister Farrakhan is through Scripture, he is not just a leader. He is not a head of an organization. He is the representative of God to everyone. He is the representative and the vicegerent. He is the vicar of the Christ.
Go ahead.
And I say that if you understood and understand that he is the vicar of Christ and God's representative, then you would stop. If you understood who God was and you was a servant of God, asking questions of the servant of God who divinely guided. And what I mean by that, those that follow his guidance, not him the man, but what is embodying him, can help to expand and to execute that which God brings through him. So when we ask, what should we do? Stop asking, what should we do? How should we do it? Because someone clearly has defined, has taught, has instructed, has guided us. And if we stay in our lane and follow the guidance, we will be okay. But
wait,
we continue to want to hear exegesis from Negro leadership that is not divinely guided, that is divinely inspired by the enemy in their training and their teaching and of this world. Minister Farrakhan's mind is not of this world. Transform your mind. You know, renew your mind. And I'm saying this in the context that, like you said, we're not cult followers. We are believers in God, and we have read and sifted through the scriptures and found who he is, and
those that follow,
those that are still in doubt and disbelief question. Well, you stay on that side while those that know who he is follow him and build the kingdom of God on earth. So we have to internalize within, and then hopefully those without will see us building and moving and working, because those that say they're with him are not following him in doubt and suspicion of who we claim, and I know he is, but who we claim he is.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
We just need to stop it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, stop saying, when are we going to do this and when are we going to do that? When are we going to do what he told us to do?
Go ahead.
We claim we follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, he said, go where he says go. He didn't say, look beyond what he says and try to analyze what he says and then remain in a time warp. We tend to get fixated on something, and let's just be, I mean, Brother Terrence, you're just making me want to be brutally honest. Some of us have made a career out of the struggle. You know, we would be happy spending the next 100 years going on TV shows, going to conferences, pontificating, analyzing, and then go back to our nice home in the suburbs and drive in a nice car. And that's it. We really don't want to achieve anything of value.
That's right.
Which is a full and complete freedom. We just want to have the comforts, the material comforts that a house Negro had. And we're no different from the house Negro on the plantation. We just look different because of technology. You know, the character that Samuel Jackson played, Stephen.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that scene with Leonardo DiCaprio, and he told Leonardo, I want to see you.
Right.
and summon the master into the, and he's sitting in there drinking brandy and smoking a cigar. The slave. You know, that was the ultimate achievement. That was, quote, nigger heaven. And you have people now, they got TV shows, they have a radio show, they have a, they're on the caucus, you know, they're starring in movies, they're making music, and the list goes on and on, and it's just, you know, call everybody, tell them we made it.
Right.
And the last thing they want to do is go down in Alabama and learn agriculture. They don't want to hear about whole foods.
Come on,
right.
Not being whole. they don't want to know. It's like when you first come in the nation and you find out your favorite food. When you're told don't eat pork, you're like, that's cool. So you think because you don't buy ham anymore, you're good to go. And then you find out your favorite meal, your favorite food has pig in it.
Come on.
Right.
You know, and it's like, don't tell me that. I don't want to know. You know? So we have got to come to terms, as Brother Terrence said, we can get this done quickly. It's not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's not the minister. It's us that's holding everything back.
That's right.
And we're really no better than these other people when we want to do everything except what we've been called to do. And that is to get up and do something for ourselves. And I just wanted to share, because you know Dr. Scott Whitaker, who is so awesome, and we're going to get him back, dealing with the chemicals in our food and giving us real simple, easy solutions to a lot of problems that we have, and just start thinking about getting off these medications.
Right.
See, that's all we're saying. It, you know, a lot of times every day we get up and go to this white man and just lay all up in his world. You know, we work for him. We help him flourish. We go to Walgreens and line up, and the doctor's saying, well, you need this pill and that pill, and you're taking 9 pills. And, you know, nobody is saying just suddenly drop everything. It's this fear, oh, my God, that I have to leave him. And we don't even consider life, Donald Elijah Muhammad said. We don't consider that there's something better because
right.
we have made him a god, and we've
That's right.
decided that what he's offering is the best. The best thing I can do is go to a Chicago Bears game. I could barely make it to the switchboard tonight because of all the traffic in Chicago. This football is just, oh, my God, we should love Islam like America loves football. I mean, I have nothing against football, nothing at all, but do we have to be this fixated?
Well, you know, Minister Ava, you know, when Scott Whitaker was on, after he left that, and I had a half epiphany, and that is that what he was saying was really that it's the cure that's killing us more than the diseases.
Yeah.
And I thought about your situation and what you said, that you were a cancer survivor, and I said, you know, she was both a cancer survivor and a chemo survivor, so she was a cancer chemo survivor.
So powerful.
Know, yeah.
I got to know about what happened when you heard the minister. Chemo survivor.
No, and that's very profound because I was just doing I'm over a committee that's doing research and study about healthcare system and breast cancer centers and how they treat black and white women in that then. Just the fact that I was looking at a system, and I made a point the other day that they help, you know, we're trying to fix a system to help people navigate in a system that keeps you on drugs versus helping you to navigate not getting in a system.
Right.
But helping people get affordable health care instead of helping people get right kinds of food to not even have to need health care insurance. So we're always trying to integrate into a system that's a perpetual death cycle, that is not a life cycle, and the methodology that we're using is their methodology instead of using the one that works. But I wanted to say before we get off, and I did get a chance to talk to it based off the flow of the discussion, to go back and look in the news about the Georgia teen that was mysteriously killed, and it's on the NBC News, and it says Georgia teen was stuffed with newspaper after death, family lawyer says. The mysterious death of Georgia teen has taken a bizarre twist with the revelation that an autopsy of his exhumed remains found his internal organs missing and his body stuffed with newspapers.
So this, again,
is devastating, and it keeps coming out more and more, and I don't know how much more we need to see and hear before we make our way to Tuskegee, October the 20th, and hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If you can't drive, fly, or walk to Tuskegee, you better get on NOI.org and listen quick, listen fast, and listen to part 40 coming up Saturday on the time of what must be done.
And, you know, as Dr. Rizzi pointed out, I'm telling everybody, I heard one lecture. One. It was the first time I ever heard the minister. I was still
a
Lost Found. Yeah, Lost Found come out to the big events. I was one of them. And one makeup, short dress, the whole nine. One lecture. I was on chemotherapy when I came.
Come on.
On it. And I listened to him on a Friday. I got How to Eat to Live, 1 and 2, read them back to back. On Monday, I went to my oncologist, which is what they call a cancer, so-called cancer specialist. And
right.
I said, I found someone else. Thank you. And I went cold turkey off those drugs.
Go ahead.
Because it is indeed. See, the way, like you're saying, Dr. Rizzi, what Dr. Whitaker is telling us, we got to get him, we got to get him for Savior's Day and everything else.
It's
not the so-called disease, it's the cure.
Right.
And what they have to do is get you to come to them so that they can do to you what Yaqub did. To our people that they came out of. In the laboratory. See, that's what their creator, Yaqub, did. He used needles, injections, taking stuff out, putting stuff in. So how can they get you to come to them except to say you're at home looking at TV, you have a headache, you better go see your doctor. You got a lump, you better go see the doctor. You go see the doctor. Doctor said you got 6 months to live unless you take these pills, unless you let us operate, unless you let us do this, and this.
Right.
And then they get you on that cycle, and they don't want you to take medication for 6 months. They want you to take medication for 30 years.
Cash cow.
See, we got to know, even when they're, because I don't want anybody to get off this phone and run and throw nothing in the toilet either. What you got to do is remember, and we got to go real quick, but just remember, you take charge. Listen to your body.
Right.
And if you do need medication or surgery for some acute thing, you got to know when to run from them, when to get away. So may Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. October 18th through the 20th, Tuskegee, Alabama. And we'll be talking to people from there next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.